Parshat Lech Lecha includes a lot of very big things. And the first story, if we pay close attention to the first story, there's a short introduction where Avram is given his divine command, Lech Lecha. Parenthetically, what is Avram told to do? Lech Lecha, what does Lech Lecha mean?
Go for yourself.
Okay, so to quote Mr. Itzkiewicz, Olav Shalom, it means you go. Okay? You go. Which means who's supposed to leave?
Just Avram.
Avram alone. No, Lech Lecha literally means you go, as opposed to you take other people, right? Which means that you're going to go, and you're supposed to leave everything behind.
Including wife and everything?
Including wife, including possessions, including adopted nephews, etc. And the interesting thing is the next pasuk says, Vayelech Avram ka'asher tzivai lala donai, just like God commanded, Vayelech itolot. What does that mean? What does Vayelech Itolot mean? Means Lot tagged along.
Yeah, to go with him.
However, in the next pasuk, it says, Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, et Lot ben Achiv, et Kol Rechushav Asher Achash, et Tanav Asher Asher Asuv Acharan. So they took what? He took his wife, he took Lot, he took his possessions, and he took his slaves. So the question is whether or not he actually was doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. And we have two different perspectives. We have Kasher Dibar Elav, and that's just he and Lot tags along. And then we have this whole description of going with the whole entourage. And the interesting thing that plays out is what happens over the course of Avraham's, and we're going to see that here, what happens over the course of Avraham's life. So he comes to Israel, and right away, what does he have to do? He has to go to Mitzrayim. What does he have to go to Mitzrayim? The famine. What happens in Mitzrayim? Sarah is taken from him. He comes back to Eretz Canaan, and as a result of the accumulated wealth, he and Lot have to separate. We're going to deal with that. Then eventually, he has a son. What does he have to do? He's going to get rid of that son. Then finally with Sarai, he has another son, Yitzchak. And he almost gets rid of him. And so it's as if to say that throughout Avraham's life, he is consistently being called back to the Lech Lecha. Right? Just something to keep in mind. But now we're going to look at one particular detail about that, which is the separation of Lot and Avram. I'm going to ask two questions here. One question is on the page. One question is not on the page, but it's a question we always need to ask whenever we're studying anything in Torah, which is, why does the text tell us this? Now, when you're talking about legal literature, the answer is pretty obvious, which is, Torah is telling us what to do. Why does the Torah tell us to keep Shabbos? Because we have to keep Shabbos. Why does the Torah tell us that a pigul is karet? Because you don't do a pigul, and you're karet if you do it. Right? So in legal literature, we do that. However, just to remind us, because we're all familiar with this, whenever something in legal literature in Torah seems to be superfluous, we immediately challenge it. We already know that. It already says that. Why does it say it twice? And then we come up with justifications for why. However, when it comes to narrative, you've always got to ask the question, and I'm not making this up. This is Rashi's first comment on Chumash. What's Rashi's first comment? Lo aita Torah tzricha latchil ela mehachodesh hazat lachem shi mitzvah rishona. The Torah should have started in the middle of Parshat Bo, which is the first mitzvah we were given. So why does it start in Bereishit? So the Rashi gives his answer. The Ramban says, I love the question, hate the answer. And the Ramban gives his own answer. And other people give it. But everybody addresses the question. Why tell us about creation? Why tell us about Gan Eden? Why tell us about Cain and Hevel? All right? So Begadol, the general approach that we take to it is, this is all the necessary background to understanding who Bnei Yisrael is, to understand Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and understand Matan Torah is Sefer Bereishit. Okay. But then you could ask that question more microscopically, which is, why is this particular story told and that particular story told? Now, all the stories that directly affect us, like Avraham having to being told to leave and go to Eretz Canaan, that's big. Like the story about the Akedah, that's big. Like the story about the destruction of Sodom, that's big. Because it explains why the land, it explains Avraham's relationship to trying to save people, etc. Okay. But you got to wonder about some of these little other stories, like the list of kings at the end of Perek Lamed Vav. Elam lachim asher malchu be'eretz Moab, Meretz Edom. L'fnei melech melech v'nei Yisrael. What's that about? Why is that there? And everybody asks these questions, like, why is this, what's the teaching? So we have a particular story here. I'm going to ask two questions. The first question is on the page. The other question is, why is this story here at all? Right? Parenthetically, and this is the other thing I was thinking of doing this week, is you're going to very much ask the same question about the whole story of the kings. The whole story of Avram getting involved in this huge war with the four empires coming, the coalition of the four empires coming to Canaan and beating up on all the little nothings. You know, we talk about four kings versus five kings. That's not a fair statement. That's like four major league teams versus five elementary school teams. No, that's what it's like. These are tiny little nothings. So when and Avram gets involved in the whole story and the interaction with Malki Tzedek and the interaction with Melech Sodom, what's it teaching? Then we're going to take a look at the story and try to figure out also what it's teaching. All right. So now, our background. Avram and Lot and Sarai went to Mitzrayim. And Sarai, she's my sister. And a few years ago, we looked at different approaches to understanding what happened there. So we took the Bayachani literature, we saw the Sefer Yovlim and the Genesis Apocrypha, but also developed the literature from early, early Midrash to see how this whole interaction was understood. And Kitzer, Avram becomes very wealthy as a result. Now, did he become wealthy because Paro was buttering him up to marry his sister, or was he being given money as reparations for having taken his wife away? That's an interesting different parshanut take, but in any case, they're all rich, and by the way, they come back to Canaan, they come back to the same place where they left, which is between Beit El and Ha'ai, which is Esham on Route 60, about 15 miles north of Yerushalayim today, somewhere in that area. And then we get the following. V'gam lelot ha'olechet Avram hayatzon v'akar v'yohalim. So not only was Avram kaved b'miknah, as you read, but also Lot has a lot of stuff. Right? Why? Because Lot was in Mitzrayim too, and he was part of the family that received the thing. Now, parenthetically, just as a side note, what's the relationship between Lot and Sarai?
It's cousin, I think.
So you think aunt, right? Because after all, Avram is Lot's uncle, and Avram's married to Sarai. However, who is Sarai? So Chazal make a connection between Sarai and a woman named Yiska. Why did they make that connection? Because at the end of Parshat Noach, when we're first introduced to Avraham, we're told that there's Avram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran dies before anything happens. Haran dies early, right? And Nahor marries a girl named Milcah. And who's Milcah? Bat Haran. So in other words, he marries his niece, his orphan niece, which is the norm. It's the act of chesed. And who's Haran? Avi Milcah. Well, that's a little circular. Milcah bat Haran Avi Milcah. But she's called Avi Milcah v'Avi Yiska. It sounds like Yiska must be a very important lady that a father is being called father of Yiska. How many more times do we hear about Yiska in Tanakh? Never again. In the meantime, we're told that Nahor marries a woman and told about all this Yichus. And we're told that Avram takes a woman named Sarai. So Chazal simply put two and two together. Sarai was Avram's nickname for this girl, but who was she really? She was Yiska, which makes now make sense because Haran has two daughters. They're now orphaned. Avram takes one, and Nahor takes the other as wives. Right? So that works well. It also, by the way, might imply that Haran is older than Avram. Because think about this. We know that Avram is only 10 years older than Sarai. That we know from Bereshit. So if that's the case, it would be hard-pressed to say that Haran is younger than Avram, and he has a daughter who's only 10 years younger than Avram. Yeah. That would mean that Haran... she's 10 years... I'm saying Haran would have to be older than Avram. Okay. I'm saying if he were younger, wouldn't be...
Yeah,
so Haran must be older, which, by the way, is not the way that the text tells us. It says Avram, Nahor, and Haran. But okay, like the Shem, Ham, and Yafet, we don't know who's older. Right. All right, so it's entirely possible, then, that Avram and Nahor divided them up and said, I'll marry one of the orphaned nieces, you marry another one, I'll take Sarai, Yiska, and I'm going to call her Sarai, my princess. Which is why later on, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu changes her name, what does he say? Lo tikrach ma Sarai. Don't you call her Sarai. You gave her a nickname, but the nickname was real close. It's Sarai. Not your princess, but princess for the world. Okay, very nice. In the meantime, Nahor marries Milcah, which makes Lot whom? Lot is not only the nephew of Avram, but also his brother-in-law.
Lot is the son of Avram.
Haran, that's clear.
So he's a brother of Sarah.
Which means that Lot is now arriving as the brother of Sarah and the nephew of Sarah's husband, right? Which is confusing, but just spend some time in West Virginia, it all works out. And then, which means that when they're in Mitzrayim, what's going on? Remember, Lot is covering up also. Lot's not going to say, oh, she's married. He's covering up. Who's he covering up for? He's covering up for his sister, which means Lot very likely is presented as a brother, which makes Lot and Avram who in the eyes of the Egyptians? Brothers who have a sister who's not married. You understand? That's going to play out in our story. Now, Lot, therefore, as a result, also gets wealth because they're trying to butter him up. Okay, good. So Lot has all this wealth. Now, what did Avram do for a living? Ask that question. What did Avram do for a living? Avram became fabulously wealthy. What did he do for a living to make his wealth?
Shepherd.
What? What?
Shepherd.
He's never a shepherd.
Middleman.
What? He was a merchant. How do I know he's a merchant? How do I know he's a merchant? Because what are the four basic livelihoods that exist in the ancient world?
Farming.
Ranching, shepherding.
Yeah.
Right?
Merchant.
What? Merchant. Right? And artisan.
Yeah.
Artisan. Artisan makes stuff.
Yeah,
right? They have already, and this is the Bronze Era, they make stuff. All right, so there's people who make tools and jewels and stuff. There are people who farm the land. There's people who shepherd and ranch. And there's people who sell. Okay, good. So let's just quickly, so we put ourselves back into the world of Bereshit. What are the main animals that we know of from Tanakh?
Sheep.
Sheep. Goats. That's the other.
Yeah. Cows.
What? Cows. Well, right. What else?
Yeah.
What? That's it. Sheep, yeah.
Okay.
What else?
Camels.
And donkeys. Those are the four main animals we know of. Horses only come in particular places like Egypt and later on in the north, but for our purposes, they're not part of the player. What kind of person, what kind of animal does a farmer have?
Cows.
Cows, sheep. That's it. Only cows. Why does he have cows?
Dogs.
What?
Dogs to keep.
No, there are no, dogs are not players here.
No, meat,
dogs are not domesticated.
Meat, meat and to a hell farm.
Cows are used to farm, to plow.
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of animals does a rancher have? The rancher has sheep and flock, right?
Yeah.
And maybe what?
Weird.
Goats are with the sheep.
Yeah.
And it could be also that he has some bovines because maybe he's ranching them.
Yeah.
Okay?
What for milk?
What?
They use them for milk?
Sheep. Goats are for milk. Milk in Tanakh is not from cows, it's from sheep. Oh. It's from goats. Right? Now, and meat, by the way, is typically from sheep. Not from cows either. Typically from sheep. Now, think about almost all the korbanot, right? Most of the Kormanota, right? All right. Now, what does an artisan have? The artisan doesn't need anything, right?
Well, by the way, he has some tools to make tools, you know.
No, but he doesn't need animals.
Oh,
animals.
No, not animals.
However, who uses a donkey? The answer is everybody. Because what's a donkey? A donkey is your schlep.
Your car
and your pickup truck, kind of together. Because everybody can afford it, right?
SUV.
Now, who owns camels? Only merchants. Because what are camels good for?
To carry
long distance travel. Only merchants have an interest in that. By the way, we see that Avraham owned camels. Where do we see it from what story? When Avraham sent his slave to go get a wife for Rivka, he sent 10 camels. He not only sent 10 camels, but what did he send with the camels? He sent gold. Now, let's ask a different question. If you are, and let's go back into it, if you are a farmer and you do well, what do you do with your profits?
Put it back into the farm.
You either buy more land if possible, or you enhance your farming. What happens if you're a shepherd and you do well? What do you do with the profits?
Buy more sheep.
Yeah. What happens if you're an artisan? So you might open up a second shop, you might get better tools, you might get a better crucible that'll burn at a higher heat. By the way, why is the Bronze Age the Bronze Age? Because they couldn't figure out how to get a thing hot enough to burn iron.
Yeah.
The Iron Age when they were able to make it hotter. Now, what about a merchant? What's a merchant going to do if he has money?
Spend it.
He's going to turn it into precious metals. Mm-hmm. Precious metals. Why? Because he's not staying in any one place. And we see this as an example with the Midianim. The Midianim were merchants. They were nomads. They were merchants. And the Midianim, if you remember in Shoftim, Parakhet, when the Midianim were captured by Gidon, Gidon took the jewels off of the generals and off of their camels.
Well,
the camels had jewels. Why? Because you want, where do you put your money? You put it into gold, and you put on your animals. That's a way of keeping your money around. They're banks, they're ATMs, that's how you put it in. So Avram, as you see, was a merchant. You see it from two things. You see that Avram had camels, and Avram also had precious metals. Okay, good. What did Yitzchak do for a living? So, but okay, let's stay with Avraham. So why does Avraham have sheep here if Avraham's not a shepherd? The answer is he's very wealthy. He's very wealthy. So when you're wealthy, you divest, right? So he has you diversify. I mean, so he has sheep.
Eat,
you know? Well, but they're moving around. Oh, but he owns a lot of sheep, and he owns slaves, and he owns all this stuff. But he's not a shepherd. He has shepherds.
Yeah.
Okay, Lot has shepherds because Lot's very wealthy, and they're not shepherds themselves. There's only one of the Avot who ever actually worked as a shepherd. And who was that? Yaakov, but that wasn't for himself. That was when he was working for his father-in-law. Kind of like the model of Moshe and Yitro kind of thing. Okay. I'm just trying to point out, you cannot hope to understand Tanakh without understanding the real world that existed at the time. And both in realia and social norms and all that. Okay. Literally, the land could not bear them to live together. They had lots of wealth and they couldn't live together. Now, what does that mean? What was the problem?
The problem that the space could not take more of them.
Space couldn't take more, so spread out.
Yeah. Not a field to feed the
animals. Not enough fields, so spread out, take other fields.
Yeah.
See the problem? It's not so simple. There was a fight between whom? They're shepherds. Not them, they're shepherds.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, by the way, who's living in the land at the time? This is a weird footnote. There's a weird little footnote. Avram and Lot's shepherds get into a fight, get into a reeve. A reeve, by the way, is more than a fight. It's like a suit. It's a real legal challenge. And then we're told, who's living in the land? These two other nations are living in the land, the Kanani and Prizi. But first of all, I knew that they're there.
Those are like the authorities.
They're the authorities. So, like, why mention it?
They take their grievances to the authorities.
Oh, good. So maybe what you're mentioning is that...
Work it out amongst themselves.
Let's not go to the Kanani Prizi. We'll try to work it out ourselves. Now, by the way, Avram and Lot are not the guys having the fight. They're shepherds having a fight. So what should Avraham and Lot do at this point?
Work it out so they...
And work it out. And if the shepherds can't work it out, fire the shepherds! Get new shepherds.
Yeah, but
tell them, listen, we're family. You work for us. Get along.
But it could be more than that. It could be that just a space could not take them.
Fine, so spread out. Move a little bit further. You move a little bit here, I'll move a little bit there. But we don't have to break everything up because our shepherds don't get. I understand if there was a fight between Avram and Lot. Avram and Lot have a fight. You got to separate.
Yeah.
But the fight was between the shepherds, which, by the way, leaves the rest of this a little bit strange. Now watch what Avram says to Lot. Let there not be a fight, whatever it is, between you and me, and between our shepherds. Now, by the way, where did Avram and Lot ever have a fight? That's what I don't get. The shepherds are fighting, and Avram comes up to Lot and says, let's let there not be a fight between you and me. Okay, good. But why would we think it would? Why doesn't Avram at this point, Avram's an ish of chesed, ish chesed, why doesn't he at this point turn around and say, Lot, you know, let's sit down, let's have a solcha, you know, we'll bring some sheep.
There already was a fight.
So there was already a fight between the shepherds. Yeah. So let's, you know, and we need to find...
There was the fight between the two of them, and the shepherds are just reflecting that amongst
could
themselves.
Could be. That's why we don't know. Could be. You're right. It could be that in between the lines of this, there's a shadow of a fight that's already happened. All right, an echo, sorry. Anashim achim anachnu. What does he say to? What does Avram say to Lot? Now, anashim achim anachnu. Simple pshat is we're kinsmen, not siblings. Kinsmen. The word achim is used in Tanakh, by the way, even with people you're not related to. Even
good friends.
It could be a treaty partner.
Yeah.
So Shlomo and Hiram are achim, even though Hiram is not Jewish. But in light of what happened in Mitzrayim, maybe there's a second meaning. Anashim achim anachnu. By the way, we presented ourselves as brothers. And that's how we got all this wealth. And that's how we got in trouble. So if it's because of brotherhood, we shouldn't have this fight. So what should be the result? If brothers aren't getting along, what should they do?
Separate.
Why? Think about that. Brothers aren't getting along, they should separate. Brothers aren't getting along, they should make up. Especially when they're getting along and their workers aren't. That's what I don't get about this.
What is this? Good shepherds and low and evil shepherds.
Where's that? Well, we'll get to Rashi. Halochar alatz lefanachi paradname alai. So now notice what Avram says to Lot. Halochol ha'aretz lefanecha. Which is a little bit strange considering that we don't own any of this land. But he's saying, you can go anywhere in this land that you want. Hipared na me'alai, separate from me. Which, by the way, means Avram is telling Lot at this point to leave. You bug out and I'm going to stay. Then he modifies it. Imasmol ve'emina v'imhayamin va'asmi'ila. Literally, what does that mean?
You go left, I'll go right.
Which means
you
what?
Go right, I'll go
which
left.
Means what?
You have first choice.
Both. What?
He has first choice.
You have first choice. I'm changing it. Originally, I said, you bug out. Now I'm going to say, whatever direction you want to go, I'll go the other way. Is he offering Lot any direction?
No.
No. What does small and yamin mean in Tanakh? It's critical. So where are they standing at this point? Where are they right now when they're having this discussion? They are near Beit El. Right? In the middle of the mountains of Binyamin, or near Har Ephraim, north of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim doesn't exist yet, of course, but that area.
So they're going south or north?
Exactly. Small and Yamin, exactly. Small and Yamin are south or north, small, and Yamin is south. Because we always orient facing east, which is why the east is called the Orient. Literally, not a joke. So he says, if you go to the north, I'll go to the south, which means he's offering Lot. You want to go to Shechem, I'll go to Hebron, or vice versa. What option is he not giving Lot? The valley. The valley. He's saying, you got to stay in the mountains, but the mountain range is long. You know, from Hebron to Shechem is a good 60 miles or so. You got a long stretch you could take. Vaisa Lot atenav. This is what's very strange. What does laseit enayim mean? To look up. To look up. Now they're in the mountains, and what does he look at? Vayard kol kikar yarden. He sees the entire Jordan plain, which means he's really looking down.
Down.
But from his perspective, he's looking up. Kichula mashke. What does he see there? It's lush. It's green. It's green. Why? Lifne shachet Adonai tzom v'tamurah. Because this is before the destruction of stone, before the Dead Sea. Nigan Adonai keret Yisrael. What does it look like to him? Looks like Egypt.
Like the valley.
Why does it look like Egypt? Because why is Egypt lush? Because the Nile. So why is this lush? Because of the Yarden, which evidently was bigger than it is today, and just flooded the entire valley, and it was all green. Beautiful. Boachat Tsoar. Just like when you go to Tsoar, and the delta, that's Tanis. In the delta, you see it's all green, so that's what this is describing. Okay, remember, this is Moshe Rabbeinu writing it down from an Israel. They've just been there, they understand. So Lot chooses that area. Lot goes mikedem, which means from the east, which is really not accurate. He goes to the east. So there's famous midrashim on this. They do exactly what Avram said, but not exactly what Avram said. Avram said, and it does that. But in the meantime, Avram had given him some very specific directions, and he blew them off. And he went instead of a different direction. Avram yashav be'eretz Canaan. So where did Avram live? Eretz Canaan. V'lot yashav be'arei hakikar. Lot lived in the cities that were in the plain by Halad Stom. His tents, he's still a Bedouin, his tents go all the way to the city of Stom. And now footnote. V'anshei Sodom. What do we know about people of Stom? We're told. Ra'im v'chata'im l'adonai me'od. They're very, very evil. By the way, parenthetically, what is their evil? We read about in Yechezkel. They mistreated the poor. That's what we read in Yechezkel. They were very wealthy, they had lots of stuff, and they didn't take care of the poor. That's, okay. So now, this story is bizarre. It's bizarre, first of all, because why are they breaking up? They don't have to break up.
Yeah.
Second thing is, and you're right, it may reflect that there's a deeper or earlier machloket going on. Second question is, what's the reason they actually broke up? Is it because there wasn't enough land for them? Well, then just move a little bit, spread out a little bit more. Is it because of the Canaan Prizi? So, what is wrong with the Kanani and Prizi there? So, the whole thing is a little bit strange.
But all happened after the incident with the king.
This is before the incident with the king.
Before the
incident. Yes, because Lot moves to Stom, and it's from Stom that he's taken captive by the kings. And the other question I want to ask is, why is this here? Like, why do we care? By the way, we don't know what Avraham's nickname for Sarah was. We don't know what Avraham and Sarah had for lunch on a Tuesday. Right? We don't know what color hair Yitzchak had. Because we don't know stuff that we don't need to know. It's important to know that Esav's ruddy. That's important for the story. It's important to note that Yaakov is the younger twin. That's important for the story. Stuff that's not important, we're not told. So why are we told this? What's it for? Okay, so Rashi, we'll start with Rashi. Rashi's take is on what was the reeve about? Rashi's take, according to the Midrash, is that Lot's shepherds were allowing their animals to graze in other people's fields without muzzling them. And Avram's shepherds, who were tzaddikim, come to them and said, you have to muzzle them and only take them into unowned land. And Lot's shepherds' answers were, what are you talking about? Avram's going to be given the whole land by God. And after all, Avram doesn't have any kids, so we stand to inherit it, so it's our potential land. Right? Which means the way Rashi pits it, what do you have? And this may hook into what you said before, is that you have a dispute between evil and good, which you can't fix. And therefore you have to separate. And then you'd have to read and say, well, why would Lot's shepherds be talking that way if not for the fact that they got it from Lot? Which is why Avram said, I just can't, we got to separate. That would explain it. Take a look at the Ramban. The Ramban, as he always does, starts by quoting Rashi. Katav Rashi, and he quotes Rashi, and then he says, Vani tamea, I don't get it. Ki amatanash namral Avram lezaro haita. What was the other God to promise Avram? I'm going to give this land to you and to your
seed.
Shnamar lemal lezaro haten taaretz hazot. V'heyachi Hashem Lot. Why would they think Lot's going to get it? Lot's not Avram's seed. Lot's his kin, but not his seed. So why would they think this land is going to be ours if they would develop that argument? So he says, possible that they heard the parsha, they didn't get it right. They thought it's going to go to Avram and his family. By the way, there's a midrash like this. Just parentheses, but an important parentheses. We all know the midrash. We always hear it every year around Simchas Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to everybody, right? And every nation, all right. That's not really, the original midrash actually doesn't say everybody. The original midrash is that the Torah was offered to three peoples. Who were they? Ishmael, Ammon and Moab together, and Lot. And Ammon and Moab and Esav, sorry. And what did Ishmael say? Makatubo, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. It says, Lot Tignov, this is what we're talking about. That's who we are, we're pirates. Okay, we can't have it. He came to Ammon and Moab, and they say, what does it say? It says, Lot Tinaf, you can't commit adultery. He says, how do you think we got here? And incest. So, and then he comes to Esav, says, what does it say? Adom, he says, Lot Tirtzach, I can't. I'm a warrior, I kill people, right? And they came to Am Yisrael. That's the Nishma. In other words, who was seen as potential recipients of the Torah? Avram's kin. Who was whom? Ishmael, Esav, and also Ammon and Moab, which is Lot's kids. So Lot, kind of midrashically, is seen as Avram's kin, even though Avram's children, even though he's not. Okay. Right, so he says that what he's giving to Lot, Gam Lot, he had wealth. That's not what's happening now. Why did he say they had lots of wealth? Because that's the reason they had the problem. The problem was that there was no room. That was open grazing, so Lot's shepherds went into other people's fields, and that led to the fight. But the Ramban says, that's very nice, but I'll tell you what pshat is. Hamriva, aita mriva al hamir'eh. The fight was about grazing. Kilona sautam ha'aretz, there just wasn't enough room, like you said, in there. And that's why it says, v'aknani v'aprizi yoshev v'aprizi ayu ba'aretz, v'az ba'aretz, is to tell you that's why they couldn't, because there were other people living there. Yeah. Right? It wasn't an authority question, it's just a question of there's no room. Okay. In the Sforno, he takes a different take, and I'll just summarize it quickly. He says, I want you to think about what's Avram's mission. Avram's mission is to teach people about Tzedek and everything else. And if Avram and his Avram shepherds and Lot shepherds, this is one family, are fighting, how is he going to continue his mission? In other words, I cannot represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu to these people if my closest kinsmen are fighting with me, right? The Rabbi Dovid Tzvi Hoffman, the interesting Parshan, who was actually the founder of Agudas Yisrael and was a very important German Orthodox theologian who wrote a commentary on Vayikra that was really a response to Bible critics, credit criticism, a fantastic piece. David Zvi Hoffman, in his commentary, wrote the commentary in German, so I put the translation in English as opposed to Hebrew. It says that the issue is, and why do you mention HaKanani Prizi as Yoshev Baretz, is because the problem is, with the Kanani and Prizi being there, who and Avram and Lot are already on kind of shaky ground as outsiders, if they're fighting among themselves, the Canaanite priests are going to come wipe them out. They're going to say, you guys aren't even taking care of each other. We're going to get rid of you. And so they're basically raising a flag of discontent that's going to allure others. So we have these different approaches to why they broke up. But it still leaves us with the question of why the whole story is there. So flip the page a second. I want to show you something. And I think you're right. I think that this dispute reflects a deeper divide, which is why Avram's response is not, let's try to make it work out, but we really have to separate. And Hochiach Sofal Tchilato, the end of the story proves what's going on at the beginning. You notice that that our 13 psukim really are very much of a chiasmus. The beginning of it talks about Avram leaving Mitzrayim and with Lot, and the last pasuk talks about the evil of the people of Sodom. Now, why is that important? Because why did Avram leave Mitzrayim? Because he had to lie about Sarai. Why do you have to lie about Sarai? Because the people in Egypt were disgusting and terrible. And so we see a parallel between Mitzrayim and Sodom in their how bad they are. Okay? If you look in Pasuk Bet and Pasuk Yod Bet that are sort of parallel here, you see it talks about where Avram lives and Avram's great wealth. And in Yod Bet, it's Avram and Lot's great wealth. Right? In Gimel and Dalet, it's Avram's movement. And in Yod and Yod Aleph, it's Lot's movement. Okay? And Hey and Vav, it is the dispute, and Chet and Tet is the resolution of the dispute. So you see that this whole thing is structured very much like a mirror, very much like a chiasmus. And let's see now what the middle is. And by the way, if you look carefully, and you can see, and thank you, Alan, for copying in color, you can see that the name Lot shows up 7 times here. Because this story is not the story of Avram, it's the story of Lot. That's the key word here, is Lot. Why is it important for us to understand about Lot? And that's why this story is here. Because Lot becomes the father of whom? Ammon and Moab. And who are Ammon and Moab? Ammon and Moab are two of our neighbors who we consistently have interactions, most of them unpleasant, during the entire first Commonwealth. Meaning, from the time we enter the land all the way through the end of Bait Rishon, we have interactions with Ammon and Moab. How did the whole Batsheva story happen? Because the king of Moab, of Ammon, died. David sent a delegation to comfort his son. They rejected the delegation, thinking they were spies. That led to a war. David sent Yoav to go to war. Among the soldiers was a fellow named Uriah, whose very beautiful wife stayed back in Jerusalem, and so did David. And the rest, of course, was almost the end of the Beit David. Ammon and Moab consistently throughout history, and almost always in an antagonistic way. So we got to know where they come from. And by the way, they're from family, which is why the Torah says, "Lo tidrosh tamam v'tamah." Stay away from them. Just don't do anything.
They're very close,
right?
To us.
They're close. What?
It's Avram's brother's son.
Right, but we have to understand where these guys. Like, what's the backstory of these guys? Why do we have to? So now this is where we get the backstory, because you want to look at everything. Go back to Lot. All right, here we go. Avram left Mitzrayim. What is it about Mitzrayim? What makes Mitzrayim Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is defined by one thing, and that's the Nile. What is it about the Nile? The Nile is a constant source of nourishment, of nutrition, of life, which as a result of that, a person never needs to worry about where the next anything is coming from. As a result of that, connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is questionable at best. Think about it just this way. When you're in Mitzrayim, what direction do you look to see your source of life? You look down. What does the Torah tell us in Parshat Ekev? Ki ha'aretz asher Adonai melechem yachashon lo ki ha'aretz Mitzrayim hi. Asher tishkad raglecha asher shkit raglecha gegan ha'arak. That you irrigate things as you wish. V'ha'aretz asher Adonai melechem yachashon ma'aretz harim uvka'ot. It's a land of hills and valleys. U'mimtar ha'shamayim tishtamayim. You're going to be fed by rain, which means where's your source of life? Up. And you always have to be praying. And you always have to have that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram leaves Mitzrayim. Where does he go to? He goes to the hill country, away from the lush Kikar HaYordain. He sees that Lot and his people are not getting along. They realize that there's an essential difference in orientation. because they were thrown out of Mitzrayim. But what does Lot want? Lot wants Mitzrayim. Avram doesn't want Mitzrayim. So what happens? Avram says to Lot, you go that way, I'll go this way. You go north, I go, but stay in the mountains. What does Lot do?
Goes to the Mitzrayim.
Goes to the valley. Goes to, and it's described. He wants to go to Mitzrayim.
Why did he tell him to stay in the mountains?
Because to stay away from that lush valley, which is like Mitzrayim, which was the Ardain before the destruction, to stay in the mountains.
So does Lot go east?
Lot goes east instead. Down, and that's why it says he looks up, but to him it's looking up. He's only looking down. That's the irony. He's looking up and saying, oh, Mitzrayim. We've got a little stick of Mitzrayim here. That's where he goes. And what are we told about the people of Sodom? They're terrible people. Well, Lot doesn't care. It's a nice green area. Avram, in the meantime, stays on his own up in the mountains. Right? And so this divide between them is critical for us. And you see the middle of the story is Vayhi Riv, Bein Roei Mikneh Avram, Bein Roei Mikneh Lot. This is where Avram versus Lot. Avram's position is, you've got to stay close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've got to stay away from all of that lushness that makes you forget God. At least at this point in history, this is what we need. And Lot says, no, I want Mitzrayim. And that divide is what breaks this story, is why they have to separate, and why we need to hear the story, because we need to know where Lot comes from. By the way, how does Avram's life end? And this is something I mentioned last week. How can you tell the evaluation of somebody in Tanakh? Often you could tell by the last story we're told about them. How does Avram end? He's buried by Yitzchak and Yishmael. He has lots of kids. He gives them gifts, sends them off, gives everything else to Yitzchak, and he's buried by Yitzchak and Ishmael next to Sarah in Marat HaMachpelah. Beautiful. Can you ask for better? What's the last scene we ever see with Lot?
His wife.
He's sleeping with his two daughters and having kids. Now, he's drunk, which I guess makes it okay. Not as bad. But you realize the last story we ever hear about Lot the guy is not a good story. Which gives a good sense about who Lot is. And how did this whole thing start? It started because of this decision that he made, to look up and go down.
But then David the Melech came from Egypt.